Hi, and welcome to another episode of Center Nation. I am Brandon Sparks, and I'm doing another little introduction for this episode. This is part two of the two-hour conversation that Ben Gertz and Will Clayton and myself had a few days ago. And mainly what we're talking about in this episode are the Oscars, and we're predicting who we might think will win in the next few days. And this year is a very tough year, so some of my predictions have changed since this episode. But hopefully you enjoy what we talk about. We weren't able to have Anna, Hunter, and Thomas on due to scheduling. So Anna told me that The Revenant is her pick to win Best Picture. If you've listened to the past few episodes with Thomas and Hunter, you've probably heard them express their love for The Revenant. So I think it's safe to assume they believe The Revenant will take the Oscar for Best Picture this year. Also, make sure we just recently posted the Oscar competition we're having on Center Nation. So basically what you have to do is you fill out your ballot, who you think will win, make your predictions, and whoever has the most points at the end of the night on Sunday, they will have the ability to be a special guest star, get a guest spot talking with us on the podcast about film-related topics or television, whatever they want to talk about. And so, yeah, and whoever has the most points gets that spot. So make sure you fill out your ballot before 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Pacific time, before the Oscars start. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Ben Gertz, Will, and myself talking about the Oscars. And hopefully our predictions will hold up come Oscar night in a few days.
We just referenced that Brooklyn has been re-released in the Birmingham market because it's been nominated.
Yeah. And Brooklyn was a phenomenal film, and like I know very few people, even in LA, that have actually seen Brooklyn.
Right.
And I loved it. Like it's easily in my top three favorite films of this year. Like
I put it up in top five best romance films of all time.
Oh wow, that's.
I mean, it's a perfect film.
That's big.
I mean, there's no fat on it whatsoever.
Yeah, I said it was an underrated film. I loved it, easily in my top three. This is something that Thomas actually sent us. We'll try to post it. Thomas sent us this thing of if people judged Rotten Tomatoes scores as the eventual winner of the Oscars, Brooklyn would win. Yeah, because it talked about how like through the years, like Gravity would have beat 12 Years a Slave, which that's debatable.
It didn't deserve it. I mean,
no,
12 Years is clearly the better film of the two.
So there is a flaw in this, but it was judging off. It helped more earlier on. It's like Citizen Kane would have beat the film that it lost against. I think it was Hal Green.
How Green Was My Valley?
How Green Was My Valley, yeah. So it's like, that helped that. But it's interesting to say Brooklyn has better reviews than most of the films that are in contention for Best Picture. And it's one of the least seen. I mean, I'm trying to think if... Let's look at the box office numbers. Is Room had 12 million. I wonder how much Brooklyn had. Actually, more. Surprisingly, 34 million. All right. But it came out of Sundance last year as how it got picked up. And Fox Searchlight, who was kind of the big... One of the bigger people who pick up indies they had a good job picking up indies at Sundance because they picked up Little Miss Sunshine and they recently just picked up Birth of a Nation.
Yes.
Which,
love the title just for the history of it.
Just for the history of it, yeah. But it's Brooklyn's one of my favorite, and I can't remember. It got three nominations, and so it's for Best Picture. It's for
Actress.
Saoirse Ronan, and then. Nick Hornby for adapted screenplay, who was actually was a novelist before he started writing screenplays.
Hornby's been on fire lately. I mean,
yeah, he did Wild.
Great. High Fidelity. I mean, that's one of my favorite rom-coms of all time.
One of my favorites too. But yeah, Hornby, and a lot of his books that turned into movies, like Fever Pitch, like About a Boy. So going to Oscar stuff because we're going towards time here. I want to do a little bit of Oscar prediction, not just Best Picture. I know, Ben, you haven't seen as much as we have, but...
and I've been pretty straightforward about it, yeah.
Straightforward. So I'm going to go through kind of the first top... Let's just go through...
Do the big ones.
We'll go through acting, directing... We'll do screenplay and up. So
So we got, for best adapted screenplay, we got Room, we got The Martian, we got Brooklyn, we got The Big Short, and we have Carol. So what do you guys think is going to win for best adapted screenplay?
What I think is going to win, or what I'd like to win?
Do both. Do both.
So we're doing adapted?
Adapted.
Or original?
Adapted.
Adapted. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if we're going to do adapted screenplay, to me it comes down to Brooklyn or The Martian. And again, I haven't seen Room. I can't be fair about what I think of Room. But The Martian, I mean, if you've read the book, the movie is the book. I mean, it tells itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can read the book, you watch the movie, you've gotten both stories. They don't leave much out. So if in terms of just adapting an actual work directly with the screen, can't get much better than The Martian, except for Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was not familiar with the story of Brooklyn before the film came out. My mother actually told me she'd read it with a book club of hers, and she was like, "Oh, I remember that book. They made a movie about that." I said, "Yeah, it's one of the best films of this year."
Mm-hmm.
And so, if it comes down to it, those two stories, in general, I would argue probably the best adapted stories this year, either Brooklyn or The Martian, for my money.
Ben, you got a guess?
I really like Will's analysis. I mean, The Martian is the book. I mean, from reading it, there's a little more, there's a little more humor in the book in a way than the movie. But yeah, I don't know, Brandon. I'm not a good, better of these things. I would put
I'm not saying better. I'm not saying better. I'm saying, who do you think will win? As a difference between better and who you think will win.
No, I'm saying, like, if I had my own money to put on this, and I suppose I do as a grown man, I would bet $0 because I have that little faith in what I'm getting ready to say. But maybe The Martian on the chance that it gets a sympathy vote for maybe not winning Best Picture.
All right.
Okay.
What I think will win is The Big Short.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to see win would be the Brooklyn or The Martian. But I think it's going to Big Short, and that's because it took it at Writers Guild, and usually if you take it at Writers Guild, you're going to take it at the Oscars.
Most adapted, of the group.
That's true.
From reading the book, there is the same core there, but there was a lot that was changed for the screen. If that's how we're giving out awards.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's go with the best original screenplay. Bridge of Spies, Inside Out, Spotlight, Ex Machina, Straight Outta Compton.
That one's tough. I'll do it this way. I'll take the ones out that I think will probably not win.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably go ahead and eliminate Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
Not that the script is weak. I actually didn't like that film nearly as much as wider audiences did.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually a little bit surprised in terms of quality that it was nominated for Best Picture. I can't discount the Spielberg effect, and you can't discount Hanks.
Yeah.
And I love the Coens. I mean, they're great writers. They're great filmmakers. But in terms of, in comparison with the other four up here, these are just much stronger films in terms of original stories. I mean, Inside Out is probably one of the best Disney-style films I've seen in a while in terms of its pure creativity. I'm talking Monsters, Inc. level creativity.
Yeah.
And very original. But really, for me, Ex Machina takes this hands down. That was a phenomenal film that... didn't get much play down here again. Not a surprise.
Yeah.
But it came out for about 4 weeks here in the Birmingham market, if I remember correctly. And within that 4 week time, I saw it twice, and then probably saw it two more times in streaming and in other fashions as well. Fantastic film. Really good. Really original story. Unique and great character exploration.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Well, we're gonna have to have you back on because I actually had a pretty negative reaction to the film because of the hype, I think. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had told me, like, you're going to love this film. And I wanted to love it so much. And there's, I think it's mainly the kind of the unraveling at the end, in my mind, is like, I guess this kind of gets most of the films that I have seen this year. There's a sense in my mind that, like, I would rather, and this, you guys can laugh at this, but I would rather watch this as like a limited series, like a 6-episode British you know, HBO style series. Yeah. Because it's like a film like that brings up so many interesting questions and then just ends. And I know that's part of the, you know, it's a low budget indie sort of thing, but man,
it's one of the things I thought was brilliant about it. It gave you no solid answers. It allows the audience to come to its own conclusions, which sometimes as filmmakers, I think is, especially with these deeper questions like that, if they don't have an answer, then don't force one.
Now, are we talking about Ex Machina or Spotlight?
Ex Machina.
Yeah. Okay.
Spotlight. So that's a different story.
So Ben, the reason why, because I was confused, because Ben's has said the same thing about Spotlight.
No, I mean, I think my answer holds for both. I mean, Spotlight, if there was ever a film this year that I saw that I was like, good gracious, this, you know, Spotlight is a classic example of, as soon as I walked out of the theater, and again, laugh at me because it's ridiculous, but I started just pitching to my wife, who was annoyed by this, but I was like, okay, episode one is this, episode two is this, episode three is this. And I walked through in my own mind for no purpose and no gain that will ever come to the world, you know, what would take place in an 8 to 10 episode remake of Spotlight, because so many beats in the story are just truncated in horrific ways where, you know, they knock on the door of, spoiler, they knock on the door of a priest who admits, you know, to participating in some of the things that they're investigating, and then we never return to that character, and we never, like, gain anything from that other than a small sort of, like, you know, burst of energy in the film. Anyway, yeah, I'll make my pick, though, other than my rambling. I'll say that Straight Outta Compton wins original screenplay, possibly just out of, you know, the controversy, the response. Yeah, I mean, I think voters should feel a little ashamed, potentially, from the nominating process. There's been a spotlight put on it. How about that? For a horrible...
Dun-dun.
Yeah, horrible joke. Dad joke.
Oy, puns.
I know you guys hate me, but I'm going to say that the winner is going to be Spotlight.
Hey, I like Spotlight. I thought it was a great film.
This is a tough category because I will say Bridge of Spies is the one I'd knock out first. But
I would have never thought I'd say let's eliminate the Coen brother film script from original screenplay.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying when you look at Inside Out, Spotlight, Ex Machina, Straight Outta Compton, I'm just like, some of these are just, when I hear original screenplay, I'm like, Inside Out is pretty original. Like, that's like, and then Ex Machina is the same, and then Straight Outta Compton is that you were able to take, you're able to change a type of biopic and make it an interesting thing.
Right.
But I would, because I'm looking at IndieWire, like, of the stuff, and they're predicting Spotlight and then potential spoiler Inside Out. I would probably say Spotlight is the one I want to pick, but Ex Machina is one that, it's just so difficult, because I would go Ex Machina or Inside Out. It's just, it's so difficult to pick. But I'm going to say Spotlight's going to win. So let's see. Best Supporting Actress, real quick. Let's see. Jennifer Jason Leigh for The Hateful Eight, Rooney Mara for Carol, Rachel McAdams for Spotlight, Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl, that's Thomas Horton's girl, and then Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm on a roll here, why stop? Rachel McAdams should be disqualified because of True Detective Season 2. I'm just sorry, you can't win in the same year that tragedy takes place on the small screen.
I disagree with you there, because Hollywood clearly disagrees with you as well, considering that Eddie Redmayne won for the same year that you have that monstrosity of Jupiter Ascending out, and he's also nominated for Best Actor category, so clearly we can't take that as the standard by which we...
Well, I love facts. I love that you're hitting me back with facts. I appreciate that.
It's been enough time for people to forget about season two of True Detective. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it's like, God. Well, the world, I guess, yeah, I won't go into it.
Let's avoid the painful memories that were season two, what could have been of True Detective. But
yeah, so Will, who are you going for?
Honestly, for me, it's between Kate Winslet and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Okay. I thought Kate Winslet and Steve Jobs, again, anchors the film with Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. And not to jump ahead, but Fassbender is my pick for Best Actor.
Ooh.
That I really do think that they're play off of each other. Yeah, we'll get to that. But her character really does ground the film in its humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to not only hold her own with Fassbender, but also to shine, did incredibly well. I think the same could be said for Jennifer Jason Leigh. I mean, in a role that really, let's be honest, she was basically there to get beat up for the entire film. which I've heard some, you know, feminists argue that they've had some issues with basically her entire character's there to have viscera, blood, guts, and abuse hurled at her way the entire time of the film. Mm-hmm. But honestly, with that character and with her portrayal, it fits.
Yeah.
It fits very well, and she wears it almost like a badge of honor. You've got, you're stacked with some great actors in the film, and she's solid. And there's not much more to say than that other than I really enjoyed the movie and I enjoyed the role. Mm-hmm. So between those two, for me, I'd probably lean Kate Winslet.
Okay. Ben?
You know, I'm trying to get headlines here with these sort of predictions, but I'm going to go with Danish Girl star because of her role in
Ex Machina.
I mean,
she's great.
For as much as I'm saying I didn't like parts of the film, in particular the kind of the unraveling of the ending, she's fantastic. I mean, she's the anchor of that film without question, in my mind. So, yeah, I think she'll she's my pick.
I'm gonna follow up. And go ahead, Will.
Don't forget she was in Man from Uncle this year as well. Yeah, I mean, she was. And honestly, probably one of the stronger points of that film, as a matter of fact. And it's interesting again. How Hollywood used to, you know, take your entire body of work from a year and measure your best acting categories off of that, and now we just do it for, you know, you can be in a movie for 12 minutes of screen time and win. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I do think it's fascinating just that there are some solid picks in here, but I'm not sure they gave them the right role in their nominations.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Alicia Vikander. And I love Kate Winslet, and IndieWire actually is predicting Kate Winslet the win right now. But I actually haven't seen Danish Girl, but I'm going to rely on Screen Actors Guild for this one. And personally, I love Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet is one of my favorite actresses of all time. But for that first act of that film, her accent is not there to me, like, at all.
It's, you know, like, a lot of Polish folks.
Well, no. I'm saying, listen to Act One. If Thomas was on here, he'd agree completely, because we looked at each other during Act One when one goes like, "Oh, she loves my Polish accent." And I'm like, "What Polish accent?"
Because you paying attention to it until they mention it?
No, yeah, I was, because I knew she was Polish. Because I was just like, "Wait a minute, why does she sound like Kate Winslet? There's no accent." Now the accent is there for Act Two and Three. And we'll just like forget about it, but because she is great in it, and I would have no problems if Kate Winslet won. But I was just saying the accent was not there for Act One, and it wasn't just me that noticed it, but no one's pointing it out. So it's just some little thing. But
I have to go back and watch it again.
I'm gonna say Alicia Vikander. I love to see Kate Winslet, even though the accent's not there sometimes. But I'm going with Alicia Vikander for this one. So Best Supporting Actor. Christian Bale for The Big Short, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo for Spotlight, Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone for Creed. So, who are you guys picking?
I'll let Ben start this one.
Come Ben. On, I like to come out swinging after other people have said something intelligent. I want to be known as the idiot in the room.
You want me to go first then?
No. I'll actually open with one that I really liked Christian Bale in The Big Short. I liked Ruffalo in Spotlight. I thought his performance was great too. I would pick Bale. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Bale and just leave it at that.
Okay.
All right. To me, it's down to only two possible winners. It's between Stallone for Creed, this is his swan song, or Tom Hardy for The Revenant. And this, again, we'll debate this a little bit more, but Hardy, to me, actually stands out more than Leo in the film. Ooh. Just saying. That his performance is not only believable, but incredibly layered. That you're looking at a character that is basically a scumbag. Uh-huh. And self-interested, and a liar, and a murderer, and the performance was fascinating, and his accent is so thick, and it morphs multiple times. You can't understand half of the words he's saying. He doesn't even have a Bane mask on this time around.
Yeah.
But the fact that his own physical performance as well is just as good as Leo's.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that his whole character arc, when the film, again, I try not to review The Revenant while we're in the middle of this, but
yeah.
I'll just leave it as this, that his performance to me equaled, if did not surpass, DiCaprio's within The Revenant. And you're talking about a monolith of acting mm-hmm. in that film. And but to me, it's either Hardy or Stallone. It'll probably go to Stallone, but I'd really like to see Hardy win this.
Mm-hmm. Whew. All right.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, that's a. I wish Hunter and Thomas were on here for the DiCaprio stuff, because they would go all, at least Hunter
would. Crucify me, I know.
Well, yeah. No, it's okay. They crucify me for saying Spotlight. But no, but yeah, I would say Stallone for Creed. It's I think Ryan Coogler did a phenomenal job of directing that film and getting a great performance, a performance we've never seen, I think, from Stallone in a while. And it brought a lot of depth to the character of Rocky that we haven't seen. A lot of stuff, like, it's just, there's moments in that film that I guess some of it's Stallone's best work.
I agree.
And so I think they're going to award him for that, because he's the guy. It's like everyone likes a comeback, and with Rocky, he's the comeback king in a way. So I'm going to go with Stallone for that one, because Idris Elba, who won at the SAG, is not involved in this discussion because he wasn't nominated.
Crazy.
But yeah, so we'll move on. Best Actress: Cate Blanchett for Carol, Brie Larson for Room, Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn. So
okay, for me, Saoirse Ronan.
Uh-huh.
It's not that the others aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Larson, again, I haven't seen her.
Uh-huh.
Lawrence, solid. Movie itself, not that much to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
She's fine, but she's won before. I think the Academy will take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is her strongest role. I don't think it's her best role. She does a decent job.
Mm-hmm.
Cate Blanchett, of course, is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, I don't remember her performance at the end of the day being as sort of, oh wow, that really sat with me.
Mm-hmm.
But with Ronan, she's captivating in the film. I mean, the character and the performance are just so sweet and natural. And you really grow and feel with Elish in the film that. With these other movies, the performances themselves and the characters
mm-hmm.
were not that memorable to me. I mean, with Ronan, I just kept coming back to, oh my gosh, you just almost like reading Jane Austen, you know, Pride and Prejudice. You're falling in love with Lizzie Bennet again every time you read it. It's the same mm-hmm. with me every time I watch Brooklyn. I fall in love with Elish over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it Saoirse Ronan is my pick. She's mm-hmm. probably not going to win. Probably going to go to Brie Larson, from what I've been told
mm-hmm.
and from what I've heard. So I would like Saoirse to win, but it'll probably be Brie Larson.
Ben?
Let me ask you this, Will. Have you seen Brie in Short Term 12?
I have not seen Short Term 12.
Ooh.
See, and this is what's interesting, is I actually left... I left Room a little bit disappointed because... Just because I feel like her performance in Short Term 12 is really, to me, like, it encapsulates, like, what I want out of cinema. It's as dumb as that sounds, like... It to me is like top five films for me easily, and her performance is probably the main reason. John Gallagher Jr., you know, plays opposite, and their relationship is amazing. The film is amazing. Mm-hmm. All the betting money is on Brie to win. I think it's interesting that it will come for Room, but I you know, because I haven't seen some of these other films, but yeah, her performance is pretty amazing, and I think Brie is pretty friggin' fantastic, and if not this year, she will be back without question.
Yeah, I'm going with Brie Larson because I think Brie and the boy, the two actors, Jacob Tremblay, how do I pronounce his last name? I don't know his last name. I think they're both very, very strong, and I think Larson, there's moments that are just so good
mm-hmm.
with Brie Larson. Like, to me, that's I wasn't as disappointed as Ben was, but the performances is what got me through that movie, because they're just so phenomenal. And there's moments when Larson is like, she's almost playing, she's playing a role while playing a role in spots. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And it's like, and you're just like watching, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about her, you know, not to, whatever, there's something about her performance. You know, when you're talking about layered from Tom Hardy, I think there's a certain aspect where some of these actors and actresses, or just generically actors, I mean, you see just this overwhelming layer of things passing through, like a very calm performance. That's the thing. That's kind of what's surprising, I think, from her performance in Room, is they are genuinely in a room for much of the film, and there is so much that comes out of these encounters, and the scenes she has. It's really something to. It's something to watch.
So we're going. I'm going to bring up Brie Larson, and I think she's. And I'll give Ben credit, even though he might like the movie. But before it ever came out, we were in a conversation talking about Brie Larson. He goes, give her 5 years. Give her some indie drama where she's the lead person, and she's going to win an Oscar. And we look up Brie Larson, and at that moment, that was the exact day the trailer for Room dropped, like within that last hour. And Ben's
if you remember the trailer,
it's already happening.
The trailer is her singing that lullaby
to the little
boy. The trailer is a fantastic marketing thing because it captures so much of what is amazing in her performance. It is just this very, you know, kind of surprisingly nuanced. I don't know. I mean, there's a certain aspect of where the story structure seems like it's just going to be this ridiculous, you know, kind of over the top setting, but it really has these very human, small moments that are special, really.
Yeah, for sure. But okay, so let's move on to best leading actor. So we got Bryan Cranston for Trumbo, we got Matt Damon for The Martian, DiCaprio for The Revenant, Fassbender for Steve Jobs, and Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl. So Will?
Well, I already spoiled it a little bit earlier, but to me, it's Fassbender.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, because it's the elephant in the room, I have to talk about why Fassbender and not Leo.
Mm-hmm.
DiCaprio, of course, is, again, how many more times can we, you know, talk about how great DiCaprio is? But here we go again. So Leo is great in The Revenant. It's his movie, so to speak. But it's not his best role to me. And in comparison to with the other performances up this year, you have to compare it to what he's doing against the other guys in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys in the room, Matt Damon's playing himself, so you don't have to worry about Matt that much. Eddie Redmayne, if he hadn't won last year, probably would have won this year. It's just that solid of a performance, and for the film itself, the subject matter, especially in its timely nature, would make it an instant Oscar favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Trumbo, who doesn't love Bryan Cranston at this point? So it's just more of Bryan Cranston doing more Bryan Cranston things that we love as well. Yeah. So to me, it comes down then to between Fassbender and Leo. And at the end of the day, I walked away with a more memorable experience as, wow, that was an actor that carried his film and really did a lot with a character in terms of full emotional depth than Fassbender did with Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Leo's whole modus operandi in the entire film is he's a ghost. Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant character decision. But there's only so much of watching him crawl through the woods and through the river and through the plains and hiding inside the belly of a horse naked that I can take before I get it, you're suffering. But I've seen him crawl before, and his best crawling scene is still in Wolf of Wall Street. I've seen Leo get angry before, and I've seen him be better angry. His best angry performance was as Calvin Condi. I mean, we've seen better Leo performances. Will the Academy give it to him just because it's Leo and he needs one?
Mm-hmm.
They might. However, Fassbender is sitting here pretty because you're talking about a guy taking a character and taking a person that was so beloved in sort of the American imagination, put on this pedestal, and really getting the nitty-gritty out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And really turning around the perspectives of Steve Jobs and turning around the perspectives of Apple and how that whole sort of mythology came to be, that I really do think that in that sense, you're taking a fictional character versus a real person. I really weigh it more towards the Steve Jobs role just because of all those factors put in. Leo is great, but we've seen better from him. And mm-hmm. I think when you compare the two, Leo's going to be up again for movies in the future. Mm-hmm. Fassbender could be up again, but if correct me if I'm wrong, this is his first Best Actor nomination in a leading role at the Oscars?
Yes. Second nomination total, first for Best Lead Actor.
Exactly. To me, Leo's been nominated before. Fassbender hasn't. This is a lifetime role I think Fassbender could be remembered for. Mm-hmm. That I'm going Steve Jobs.
It's interesting, Will, that you would say that Stallone gets the pick as almost like a swan song, and
age,
Leo
man.
Doesn't.
Let's,
yeah,
that's...
I know the swan song.
What's Sly going to do in the next 20 years? Is he going to become a comic actor that I've not known he could do? Leo's range is incredible. He's great in this film as well with The Revenant, but Sly is... He's getting on up there. We're not sure how many more years he's going to be with us. It's the same John Wayne deal. Rooster Cogburn's not his best character. Rooster Cogburn's not his best performance. It's still, to me, the Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Mm-hmm. So that's the same situation you're getting with there with Sly and John Wayne. I don't see John Wayne and Leo DiCaprio as being a direct parallel.
Yeah, I guess I'm just, you know, with the lobbying that Leo's clearly been doing for this performance, I almost just think, you know, he's predicted to win. And honestly, if I was a voting member, I would give it to him just so he stops. Like, just in this basic sense, because I think there is a little bit of like a social dynamic to some of this stuff, right? It's a small community of people voting on these things. I think there's a certain sense, you know, he is clearly one of the top actors working today, and there's a certain sense of give the guy the thing so he can go and stop making like crawling through the jungle, you know, crawling on his belly films to like, please give me the Oscar, you know, just in the conversation and move forward with time. I don't know. That's just.
Well, to get a little conspiratorial for you, that's why they gave him the Golden Globe, because they knew they couldn't give it in the Oscar, but they could give him at least the Golden Globe because he's campaigning too hard.
Mm-hmm. Eh, we'll find out.
You can't say they didn't give him something for it. He got something for it.
I'm gonna go with DiCaprio for this one. People tend to, they go off not on gimmicks, but they go on like, if an actor suffered tremendously, they're like, we should give it to that guy. He kind of earned it. Not saying if it's right. I think DiCaprio's performance is great. I would probably agree with Will saying it's not his best either. But it's, I think it's up there for me. But
and that, to remind us again of last year, recent history has proved us wrong about swan songs and just give it to him. I mean, Michael Keaton, I mean, I still get upset about this.
Best
actor last year.
Yeah.
Eddie Redmayne was not best actor last year.
I agree with that.
But I think there's something to the suffering aspect, at least with that character as well. The bathroom scene is what won him the Oscar.
Yeah.
But Leo, it's because it's so long, it's not one moment that you go, that's it. That's your Oscar moment with Leo. There are moments in Steve Jobs where, like, that's it, right there. That's the moment. And for me, the moment is the conversation in the third act of the film with Woz in the auditorium. That is the Oscar moment in the film, that whole conversation. Leo, I don't have that. It's like I have to take the whole performance. I can't just narrow out like 20 or 30 seconds or a 2 or 3 minute speech to go, yes, that's phenomenal acting. It's more like, okay, this is another torture session.
That's a strong debate. I'll give you that. That's a strong point. I'll give you that one. I would love to see Fassbender win. I have no problems if Fassbender wins, but I feel like it's just going to be DiCaprio. I think Fassbender will have his Oscar within 3 years. But maybe we'll just pull a whole it'll just be a whole turn, and DiCaprio looks like he's the favorite, and then again he just loses out.
Yeah.
We never know. But let's move on real quick. So, Best Director, we got George Miller for Mad Max, Tom McCarthy for Spotlight, Adam McKay for Big Short, Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu for The Revenant, and Lenny Abramson for Room.
Well, you got it right with the first name. It's George Miller.
Okay.
And nothing else needs to be said.
Okay.
Well, but I will say more. That Mad Max Fury Road, and with Miller, you're talking about an aging director, basically a grandpa who made the best action film that's been made in years. And not only that, but made an action western, and with hardly any dialogue, that's truly a visual masterpiece. And to do it with mostly practical effects, to have his entire thing drawn up on storyboards, 200, 300 storyboards long of shots just alone. Mm-hmm. There's not a single ounce of fat in the film. The other directors are fine. Their products are solid. But George Miller, man, I mean, that film, the fact that you have a blockbuster in this category, mm-hmm. both for Best Picture and Best Director, mm-hmm. Speaks volumes. And for me, there's not a more beautiful artistic vision. Maybe you could argue The Revenant because Iñárritu is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But the Vico from pure artistic vision and directorial style, nothing beats Mad Max this year.
I kind of disagree. Ben?
I'll keep it simple. And I love Will's reasoning. And easy as that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going with George Miller too. Because I think Mad Max is one when I walked out of the theater and I was like really blown away by what I just seen. And I haven't really had an experience like that in a very long time. And that was one that everyone told, like, I would tell people to go watch and go see. And very rarely did I hear, I really just didn't like it. Like, and there's a few who I know who don't like it, but usually if it's friends of mine, they're like, oh my gosh, you were so right. I'm happy I saw that movie. So I'm going to go with George Miller. It could be Iñárritu as a spoiler because he won DGA. But I'm going to go with George Miller because Iñárritu won last year. So the final one, which we've already kind of picked our favorites, I feel. But the final one's Best Picture. So we got Spotlight, Big Short, Revenant, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, and Room.
I'm going to go Mad Max again.
Okay.
For me, it was not only the most memorable film of the year, mm-hmm. But I would argue probably one of the best films that will be, in terms of filmography, that can be remembered and held mm-hmm. up as this is a piece of filmmaking mm-hmm. for a long time. I think this movie fits that role very well. I probably saw it 3 or 4 times in theaters. You talked about how you walked out being sort of amazed, like, what did I just see?
Yeah.
In the first 30 minutes, I felt like I was almost on drugs. It's so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's so impressionable. Mm-hmm. And it's so solid. Again, there's not an ounce of fat on the film at all. Mm-hmm. Not a wasted moment of screen time. Everything feeds together perfectly. It's an emotional story and drama, but it also mm-hmm. has the action elements that are just phenomenally done. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick something other than Mad Max, I don't think it'll actually win. I would argue that Brooklyn will probably sneak this in here.
Okay.
Because is there really anything to object with on Brooklyn other than Spike Lee's objection? And
what's Spike Lee say? I haven't read this.
Well, the joke is with Spike Lee that why would a movie about Brooklyn be nominated that doesn't have any black people in it and that he didn't make?
Oh my gosh. I'll pick up quickly with The Big Short. Partially, and I think I said this last time, I think we're all speculating, obviously. And
yeah,
so
my
ramblings mean nothing really beyond rambling, but I think it benefits from its subject matter and from the fact that we're in a political year, and it seems to have pretty decent buzz. You know, again, it's a film that I left. I don't really consider myself a harsh critic, but I loved the book and found the movie lacking in mm-hmm. key areas that I kind of wanted. But I think that it could be the one that sneaks up. I think Spotlight is just too traditional a favorite here. I think it could win, but if it does, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of catered and tailored to be an Oscar Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I think The Big Short represents, you know, maybe a little more spunk in the Academy potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I that's a good fair point. I'm gonna go with Spotlight though, as I usually do. I'm not saying it's my favorite. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that's gonna be the one that wins out. I honestly think that. I would love to see Mad Max. That's like my next favorite. But a lot of people are saying Revenant, and it could. I'm not saying it won't.
Birdman last year, though. I mean,
the big thing with Revenant is that it's very divisive. Like, it's very, like, people, not everyone likes that movie. I have met many people who are just like, it's so self-indulgent. It's not a good movie. It's like, I have strongly, strongly disliked it. And I have some who would love it. It's just, it's too polarizing that I'm not sure if it can pull enough voters. But, could be wrong. They could have done a good job of like promoting DiCaprio and all that. So it could pull out and win, but I'm going to go with Spotlight for the moment. But yeah. So that's kind of, those are our picks. I'm going with Lebesgue for best cinematography of The Revenant, because that's just, he's going to win three in a row. I want to touch that on that. We'll see how our picks go. I'll try for everyone. I'll try before the Oscars. I'll try to have a form that you guys can fill out and say who you think is going to be the winner, and we'll have some sort of competition on CineNation of who has the better scores.
Do a sort of a March Madness draft pick here with a little bit of a bracket.
Yeah, we'll do something like that. I'll figure it out, and hopefully we'll have it out before the Oscars happen. So to end this, we have everyone usually suggest something for everyone to go watch. So Ben, I'll let you go first. What's something you think our listeners should go and watch, read, listen to, etc.?
Well, I'll tell you something I pulled back up the other day is Todd Barry's Crowdwork tour on Netflix. If you're not familiar with Todd Barry, stand-up comic, one of my favorites. The whole he did an entire tour along the West Coast, San Diego, LA, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, and then Anchorage, Alaska. And he opens the shows with literally nothing prepared and just starts talking to people. And if you want a glimpse into, you know, the differences along the West Coast, each city is amazing. The Portland section is so Portland. You know, there's a lady in the crowd that starts talking about raising chickens and, you know, the whole thing. It's ridiculous. But anyway, that's what I watched. And then I'm interested in this new original series called Love. The Judd Apatow series on Netflix. They botched the launch, in my opinion, because we sat down at Valentine's because they had the trailer out, and then it's not available until tomorrow. How can you have a series called Love not available
on Valentine's Day? Yeah, they messed up on that one.
Anyway,
Will.
I'm gonna go cable here, and if you're not watching Better Call Saul, I think you should. The whole first season is available on Netflix right now. The second season just started up on Monday night. And if you like Breaking Bad, I don't think you see there's any reason why you wouldn't enjoy Better Call Saul. It's the same writing team. Vince Gilligan does a great job. And you're talking about Bob Odenkirk, who is a vastly underrated actor. And it's both funny, entertaining. It's incredibly very well put together. It's going to be fascinating to see this character that we knew from Breaking Bad slowly devolve or transform into this Saul character. It's a very fun show.
Yeah, I Ben and I actually never finished Breaking Bad, so we'll probably lose some listeners because we just stated that, or I stated that for us. I need to catch up on Breaking Bad and then watch Better Call Saul.
Well, you don't actually have to finish Breaking Bad to enjoy Better Call Saul, actually.
Well, that's nice.
The opening of the first episode references what might have happened to Saul at the very end of the show. I will not do any spoilers for Breaking Bad. I probably could. Enough time has passed, but we'll avoid that.
What happens.
Okay. But Saul, at the end of that show, disappeared, basically. And so the show starts out with where he is currently and then goes back to where he was several years before he even ran into and met Walter and Jesse. So it's great. It's a man trying to deal with his demons and trying to do right and having life constantly keep pushing him back down the hill.
Yeah.
Everything he tries to do seems to just go terribly, and it's great.
Okay. Well, we'll check it out. And then the suggestion I was going to make for everyone, it's might be hard to find. It's an older movie that I just watched recently that I really enjoyed. I ended up buying it after I watched it. It's a movie called The Hollywood Shuffle. It's directed by Robert Townsend.
Ooh.
It is about basically Robert Townsend is this black actor in Hollywood, and it was set in the 80s, and it might feel a little dated, but some of the stuff is like really, really like relevant for today, because he talks about how like African American actors only get cast in the help type roles or slaves or things like that. And what's interesting, I was like, that's pretty much, it was the exact quote that David Oyelowo made like last year about Selma, was that they couldn't see black actors in like any form of power. And mm-hmm. Robert Townsend just does it. It's a comedy, but it's almost like divided into sketches in a way. It's like they're like a 10-minute sketch in the middle of the film. And like, it's an interesting story of how Townsend made it, that he basically maxed out all of his credit cards to make this movie. And it's kind of how he got discovered. And it's kind of, when you look at it, it's kind of a who's who of young black actors at the time in the 80s. So you like have Damon Wayans pop up in it, Ken Ivory Wayans, a lot of those guys from In Living Color. And it's John Witherspoon from, he's the father in Friday series. He works, it's a really funny movie. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It's a little rarity that you might not be able to find, but it's one I suggest to go see. So that's it for this episode. Also, guys, make sure you go check out the Medium website. We have a lot of reviews up. Will has his Deadpool review. We have another writer by Nicholas Lance Laskin, who has a bunch of reviews up and just essays. And that's one big thing. And then, Ben, you have anything you want to say? What's a look?
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Also, follow us on our Twitter at Cinenation Show, because Ben was supposed to say that.
I'm not going to pester people to listen to us more after an episode like
this. Come on, man. You got to brand a little bit.
Yeah, brand a little bit. So follow us on @CinenationShow.
Follow us
on Twitter.
Or don't follow us. I don't care.
Larry David. Actually, don't watch it.
Don't listen to it.
It's okay.
It might be good.
It's all right. Yeah.
Probably not.
So also follow us on Twitter at Cinenation Show. Like us on Facebook. Also, too, make sure you subscribe on iTunes and make sure you write any reviews, give us any ratings. That's how we hear feedback from you, and we'll make sure that we hear it from you guys so we can alter the show if need be and see what you guys like, what you dislike. And hopefully we can have more guests on soon and we'll have more interesting topics for you in the future. We have some stuff planned right now, and hopefully we can announce it at some point soon. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Will, for coming on.
My pleasure.
And hope you guys listen to more episodes soon. Bye.